Well, this is our discussion of all of Israel is holy. The notion that all of Israel have some role in being some sort of a Kohen. Although there are people known as Kohanim, but to some degree, all Jews partake a little bit of this notion of being some sort of a Kohen of sorts. Let's take a look at this. Right. In our parsha, this we're going to be reading on the first day of Shavuot, it says that we need to be a priestly kingdom, a mamlechet kohanim, and a goy kadosh, a holy nation. So it says, seems to say that we are a kingdom of priests. So the question for tonight is, to what extent are we, are all of Israel holy, as Korach said? That statement is taken from Korach, and he was against kohuna, against the notion of special kohanim. He wanted to be special. He said everybody's special, whatever that means. We know how it works on Animal Kingdom, Animal Farm, and all that. But the priest, but there is a notion that Hashem says that we are a priestly kingdom. So if we're a priestly kingdom, what does that mean? Let's take a look tonight. What does it mean that all of Israel are Kohanim, or all of Israel holy? What does that mean? Okay. So we're going to look at a number of sources that support this kind of idea. And let's see what we can put together collectively. So the Rambam mentions, it's not only the Levites who are Levites, but, and by the way, this week's Parsha consecrates the Levites. Anybody who decides to dedicate themselves to God, they are holy of holies. So it seems that even if, let's say, I'm not a Kohen, I'm not a Levi, but if I dedicate myself to God, I can be like a Levi. That's what the Rambam seems to say in the end of the laws of Shemitah v'Yovel, the laws of sabbatical year. Because the sabbatical year, why does he put that in the laws of sabbatical year? Because in sabbatical year also, every Jew can become like a Kohen and dedicate themselves that year to God. So this is the idea that you could dedicate yourself. Not that I am right now a Kohen, but that every Jew could be a Kohen. So now, or a Levi at least a Levi. Okay. The Sefer Abatim is a book that we've been looking at a lot. And again, I think Asher first introduced me to this. Sefer Abatim is a commentary I was aware of for many years, but I didn't realize that he wrote a book on the mitzvot. Remember, my son Asher wrote a thesis about it. And then Tani's been very into it. So actually, Ezra Kiva, who shared this source with me.
What is Abatim?
The books, the houses. Yeah, I don't know whether there's a house for mitzvot and there's a house for emunah. Different. I'm not sure why he calls it
Sefer. Okay.
Good question. So he says, et cetera. Then he says as follows: it's a good year to have one year where everyone could learn Torah, l'mod Torah. There's no Torah chagiga, the year, the sabbatical year. It's wonderful. There's no troubles, toil. And you can learn Torah. You don't have to give trumas and mitzvot. You don't have to give any gifts to the Kohen, so you don't owe any taxes or anything. So everyone's equal. They can take the fruit. Vaya ka'am ka'kohen. Every person is like a Kohen. Just like a Kohen can walk into my field today and say, hey, Israelite, pay up. I want 2%. You can go to the Levite and say, hey, I want 10% of what you got. So too, every Jew can walk into anybody's field and say, hey, what do you got? I'm taking some. You got some mangoes? I'm taking it. You got some wheat? I'm taking it. Whatever you got, I'm taking it. Nobody has a part in the land. You see, usually the difference, as it says in our parsha this week in Bamidbar, the difference between a Levi and an Israelite, Israelite has a portion of land in Israel, and a Levi does not have a portion of the land of Israel, whereas a Israelite does. However, on the sabbatical year, nobody has a portion in Israel. And everybody's free to love and bedarkei Torah, to understand the Torah. That just like the Kohen and Levim are always free to study Torah, so too, on the sabbatical year, I'm also free to, just like a Kohen, to learn Torah. So firstly, in his view, that's what a Kohen is. A Kohen is someone free to study, free to learn. And that's what a Jew is. Once every 7 years, a Jew can be a Kohen. So we had the Rambam who said that we had the verse in our parsha that says that we're a princely kingdom. We don't know, what does that mean? How does it express itself? With the Rambam who says that every Jew could become a Levite if he wants to dedicate himself to Torah. Sefer Batim says every 7 years, every Jew becomes like a Kohen and he can take whatever produce he wants. He can tax everybody, right? Let's say I have no farm. I can go to all the farms and take as much food as I want because it's a free-for-all and I'm free to not make a living, not work, so I can focus on learning Torah. And I want to thank my son Tani for a number of sources tonight. Some of them I've always thought of as part of this discussion. Some of them, Tani had made a wonderful collection, as he often does in many different topics, about the idea of relationship of a non-Kohen, a czar, non-Kohen, a czar, a stranger, the non-Kohen to the Kohen. And so he gave a number of wonderful sources. Most of the sources tonight, I want to thank Tani for them. The Gemara Mor Katan says, so the Kohen Gadol on the rest of the year is like someone on a holiday for the rest of the world. So on a holiday, a regular Jew, I believe the context here is, let's say it's I'm a regular Jew. God forbid I lost my father. So I can't bring the sacrifice. I can't eat the sacrifices because I'm an Oni, but I could be makir. I could bring the Paschal lamb because it's Pesach. Pesach, you don't mourn. So Kohen Gadol of the rest of the year is keregel kuliyam. It's just like a Jew on the rest of the year. So there is a notion of equating a Kohen Gadol, a high priest, to a regular Jew on a holiday. So you know, is there a notion? We just said that during the sabbatical year we become like Kohenim. Welcome to Ian. But there's also a notion that on a regel, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, do I also become like a Kohen in that, you know, I continue to bring the sacrifices even if I'm in a state of mourning or deep mourning, the first day of mourning, maybe I could still bring the sacrifices. I wouldn't eat them, but I would bring them. So the Gemara itself makes this comparison between the Kohen Gadol and a Jew on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Think about it. And Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, a Jew comes, he sees God, he has a vision of God, he comes, they even used to take out the ark from the Holy of Holies and show them the cherubs, they would take out the bread and show them the showbread. So we didn't go into the Holy of Holies, but we had access to it. Is a Jew on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, the pilgrimage festivals, is he like, or she, like a Kohen? A little bit. This is a source that that I was very familiar with from the Sforno mentions it, and it's a wonderful Mechilta. Mechilta says, we're supposed to be a holy nation. We're a holy nation, then we should be able to eat holy things. If we should be able to eat the sin offering, to eat all the parts of the shlamim, but no, we can't do certain sacrifices, we can't eat. So why not? So he says, Ajlas was able. Before we did the golden calf, we were worthy. Every Jew was worthy of eating all the sacrifices because we're just like Kohen. We're a nation of Kohenim. After we did the golden calf, then it was taken away from us. We're the true Kohenim. It was given to the Kohen. I think it's as Sforno says that, therefore, when it says you're supposed to be a priestly nation, this is the original vision. We're not priests today. We were supposed to be priests. But one might argue that it's not that Joel Finkelstein is completely removed from being a Kohen. I'm part of the group that was supposed to be a Kohen. I was then demoted, but I'm still part of that group that was worthy as an Israelite of being a Kohen. So there's another notion that, at least historically, once upon a time, every Jew was a Kohen and could eat sacrifices. Here's a Gemara in Zvachim. This is an agadah. It's a story, right? Charlie likes stories. So Zvachim Yud Tesmanal. Rav Ashi said, Huna Bar Natan said to me, once I was standing before Izgadar, king of Persia. Okay, these rabbis, they were not schleppers. They hung out with important people, like the king of Persia. Okay, of course, the most important people were the rabbis themselves. But if you're impressed, be impressed. and my belt was raised above its appropriate height. You know, you're supposed to wear your tie like this and your belt like that. So his belt was, you know, a little too high. And he lowered it into place. The king came over to him. He said, Rabbi, he tucked his belt a little lower. And he said to him, Kingdom of Priests, the Holy Nation. After all, we just talked about that. It's supposed to be, we're going to read it on next Monday, on Shavuot's first day, that he's supposed to be a whole Kingdom of Priests. And therefore, you should always look dignified. They came before Amemar and recounted, this is Rav Ashi talking, he's the chief rabbi during those days. And Amemar was also an important rabbi, not as important. And he recounted this incident. He said to me, with regard to you, God's promise to Israel, was fulfilled, and kings shall be your foster fathers. In other words, who took care, who's taking care of you? Who is your butler? The king of Persia is the butler to the rabbi, because you are a kingdom of priests. So on the one hand, it's a funny story, it's ironic. On the one hand, the king was admonishing the rabbi. He said, look, you rabbi, don't walk around with a $100 suit from the men's,
warehouse.
Warehouse. The men's warehouse, right? Yeah, you should have the $300 suit. You should have the $500 suit from Brooks Brothers. You got to look good. You're the rabbi. You're the king, kingly nation. So the king is giving him admonishment, and he felt kind of silly. But when Amemar said to him, no. Actually, you trumped the king. The king is your butler. He was fixing your belt. The king shall be your foster fathers. Pasuk in Isaiah, Yeshaya 40. Okay. So this notion of being a priestly nation has to do with the Talmud Chacham should be like a king or a priest. Talmud Chacham, don't forget who else has special garments? The high priest, the regular priest, Kohanim. And a Talmud Chacham is like that. He should always, the rabbi says, should never have a little stain, right? If I'm walking around, I got a little stain on my arm. It's not right. The rabbi of a shul, you don't walk around with a stain on your arm. Another person said, look, I was working in the shed, so I have a stain. But no, the rabbi's supposed to. Certainly it's a big Talmud Chacham like Rav Ashi, the head rabbi of that time, the one who finished off the Talmud for us. He has to have the belt exactly in the right place. The tie should be in the exact place. Shilta Rav Achai. During the Gaonic period, before Rashi and the Rambam, mostly in Babylonia, sometimes in Israel, there were different rabbis. And one of them was Rav Achai Gaon, and he wrote the Shi'iltos. It's a wonderful book where there's a certain style of a lecture. He would give a lecture, he'd ask a question, then he would distract the crowd with all kinds of stories and agadahs and different agadah and different nice homilies from the Talmud. And then he'd go back, oh yeah, regarding that question, here's the answer to the question. And it related to the Parsha. So anyway, he's talking about tzitzis. It's Parshas Ekev. I'm not sure exactly. It has to do with tzitzis. Anyway, so it says, blessed is God who gave tzitzis. So the question, Yilam Deinu Rabbeinu, the question is, what is the idea of tzitzis? Chalakosh Baruch Hu Kovali Yisrael. God gave an honor to Israel he didn't give to any other nation. As it says, we read every morning in the Psalms, let's say Psalm 147. God didn't do this for any other nation. No one can see God. Jews have a privilege that through the tzitzis, we can have a vision of God. We see tzitzis reminds us of blue. Blue reminds us of the sea. Sea reminds us of the sky. Sky reminds us of the divine throne. Vision of God when we see the tzitzis. So God gave a special honor to the Jewish people. So the tzitzis, there's something to do with the tzitzis, talis of a Jew being a special adornment, like a priestly garb to get us to that level where we're seeing God. He doesn't mention the word Kohen here, but you get the idea. It's sort of honor. One of the ideas of a Kohen, if you read the Parshat Tetzaveh, is lechavod ultifaret. The garments of the Kohen are lechavod for honor and tifaret splendor. So too, the Talmud Chacham in the story we had, Rav Ashi, he needs to have honor. And also, the every Jew wears tzitzis because it's sort of an honor and it has to do with getting close with God. Tosafot Menachos says, tzitzis meir al Yisrael shim avdi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara Menachos compares the tzitzis to a seal that people used to make seals in the clay. Like they're finding all these old seals from the days of Jeremiah in Jerusalem right now. And by the way, we pray for the safety of everyone in Jerusalem and Israel and Tel Aviv and Haifa and Yafo and Akko and Lod and Ramla and all these mixed cities. Jews should be safe and everyone should be safe. And the Jews should behave themselves as well. And it sees many of the Jewish book. He says, you know why we compare it to a seal? Because it's like a seal that a slave has, that like he's a slave of that master. A Jew has a testimony through the tzitzis, I'm a slave of God. Now, again, you could say, oh, that's a slave. But you could also say that, no, it's a seal of honor. Just like the Kohen has various garments, a Jew has garments also to show that he's a servant in the house of God, namely in the world. Tzikta Zutra is a type of medrash, and it says in Parshat Tetzaveh when it's talking about the garments of the priest. So he should make honorful garments for the priest. Chavod for honor, ultifar for splendor. Hu kavod l'chavod, ta kavod lo. We honor God and he's an honor for us. He honors you. He's the honor for you. God is the honor for you and you are an honor for him. And they say Rabbi Yochanan used to refer, the Talmud says, Rabbi Yochanan used to refer to his garments as his honor. And what does it mean, splendor? In the eyes of Israel, to know that he was chosen. So Tanya wants to say like this, just like the garments of the priest are for splendor from the Kohen to the eyes of all of Israel, so too when a Jew wears tzitzis, it's splendor for the eyes of the Gentiles vis-a-vis the Jews. The Jew to Gentile is the same relationship as Jew to Kohen. So the Jews are the Kohenim vis-a-vis the Gentiles. We'll see more of that later. Rabbi Ranel also talking about tzitzit says, why does it say you should wear tzitzit on the four corners? You should carry with you a sign to show the nations that you fear God and you desire his mitzvot very much. Again, unfortunately, learning about different things in Christianity, they have the idea that somehow mitzvot are somehow lack of kindness from God. We view it the opposite. That God wanted to help us. God loves our mitzvot. It's a very different idea. But anyway, so the tzitzit is a sign that you fear God, but it's a sign to the nations. So a Jew is a Kohen vis-a-vis the nations. There's a notion in Isaiah and other places that the nations will, the end of Isaiah, that the nations will bring us tribute at the end of days because they have to bring sort of truma. They have to bring the gifts. We're the Kohanim. They have to bring us stuff. So they bring us gold and silver and all kinds of things because we are the Kohanim. Again, we have to live up to it. We can't just watch television all day and then expect the Gentiles to honor us for being so holy. Moving along. Mishnas Rav Elazar, different collections of different drashic material. One of them is Mishnas Rav Elazar. So it says, Shimon says, don't take tzitzis lightly. Al ti mitzvah tzitzis kalabinech. Shasidin Yisrael roing kovod golo b'tzitzis. The Jews will eventually see a great honor through tzitzis. Shein roing b'mitzachirs. You won't see with other mitzvahs. What honor is that? So we have a nice pasuk over here. I believe it's in Zechariah. Shenemra ko amar Hashem. Tzvakot. Here's what Hashem says. Ashi yachziko asara anashim. 10 people. Mikol shonos are going from all the different countries, different languages. They'll grab the corner of a garment of a Jew and they'll say, come and teach us the Torah. So what does it mean that rabbis interpret that it means they'll grab your tzitzis? The Gentiles will use our tzitzis to connect to God. So that's how the Jews will see great honor. When someone will see tzitzis and say, he'll grab onto that tzitzis and say, take me with you to God and to Israel, to Zion and to Torah. The Marsha, in explaining the various agadas, the various stories and homilies within the Talmud, the Talmud mentions that there are three crowns. If you look in the parasha of Truma, you'll see there, and Tzaveh, see there are different pieces of furniture in the Beis HaMikdash and ritual objects, and they each have a crown. The altar has a crown, the table has a crown, and the incense altar has a crown. So they represent the three crowns, he says, that it speaks about in Pirkei Avos, that there's the crown of kingship, crown of Kehuna being a Kohen, and the crown of Torah, of being learned. So what's the Keter Kehuna? What's the crown of a Kohen? We know a king has a crown. What's the crown? The crown of a king is a king. Keter Malchus Mashmo, Olam Tov. Everybody knows David had a crown. He got it from some other nation. He stole, he plundered it from another nation. And he put on this huge crown. It was so heavy, he put it on for a second, he took it off. But what's the crown of Kuna? There's no crown. He says, no, there is. There's a golden frontlet that the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, wore on his forehead. What's the Keter Torah? It's the tefillin. The tefillin is the crown. So we talk about a kingly nation. We're a kingly nation because we wear a crown. What's the crown? Tefillin. Anybody who wants to take the crown of Torah can take it because everyone can wear tefillin. The Gemara in Brachos 14b says that you, anybody who washes in the morning, he washes his hands, puts on the tefillin, reads the Shema, says the Amida, here we have the notion that if you do all that stuff, it's as if you built an altar and brought a sacrifice on it. As it says, David says, I will wash my hands in cleanliness and I will circle your altar. Can David circle the altar? You're not supposed to go there with the altar unless you bring a sacrifice. He says, no. If you say Shema and you daven, it's as if you built an altar and you brought a sacrifice on it. So in other words, every Jew, by doing the davening we do today, is a Kohen. You might argue that the Chazan is the Kohen. The Rav Soloveitchik talks about this. The Chazan represents the Jews as a Kohen represents the Jews in doing the service. So now we have notion that the Kohen, that the Israelite, when he davens, becomes like a Kohen, offering stuff on the altar. The Preet Tzadik is Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. He's a Hasidish Rebbe. And mentions that Shiltos. And he says that some people say that it wasn't that Rabbi Yochanan said that my garments in general are priestly garments, that they're my honor. Some say it was the garments that he wore on Shabbos. That the big day Shabbos are big day kohen. You know where it's not the Talmud Chacham's garments, the scholars' garments that are the Kohen garments. It's not the Jews' garments, not the tzitzis. It's your garments on Shabbos. When you wear special clothes for Shabbos, you put on your special $300 suit for Shabbos, that is the big day kohen. Then you're wearing the priestly garments. The priestly garments are lechavod tifares, they're for honor. And what do we say on Shabbos afternoon? Lechavod ultifares. What's the niggin, Charlie? What's he? Tifares gedula v'teretz Yeshua. We say that on Shabbos, God gave us Shabbos also for honor and splendor. The same words that are used for the Kohen. Shabbos, every Jew becomes a just like on Shemitah year, a Jew becomes like a Kohen when he sits at his beautiful table with the food and the covered table, and we have the garments of Shabbos, we are like Kohanim as well. When the Kohen wears his garments, he's a Kohen, the Gemara says. They are Kohanim. So too, when a Jew wears the Shabbos clothes, he is, he has that Kedusha. And that the Kedusha may express itself in Chachma and Torah and think of interesting thoughts. So, it's nice on Shabbos. Try not to dress down on Shabbos. You dress nice for shul and stay that way. Stay in your special garments. Even if, let's say, you can't keep Shabbos, you can do this. You can wear special garments for Shabbos and stay in them the whole Shabbos. Okay, when you go to sleep, you can wear your pajamas. But when you're doing anything on Shabbos, you wear at least a tie, suit, whatever. The Rambam says, Hilchos Yisurei Biya. He says, he's talking about the people you can marry, not allowed to marry. He says, if a woman is married to several men and everyone keeps dying, then it could be a problem. Generally shouldn't make a bad shidduch. An Israelite who is ignorant shouldn't marry the daughter of a Kohen. It's the desecration to the children of Aaron. If he did marry them, that doesn't work so well. He may not have the right children, he may not have children at all. And maybe there'll be a fight between them. But Tamachach, Nozak, Kahanas, raise a norm, Shuach, Rabbi Torah, Kunugecha. He says, if a scholar marries the daughter of a Kohen, that's beautiful. It's wonderful. And because why? Because you have Torah and Kahuna all in one. What does Torah got to do with Kahuna? We said there are three crowns. Two of them are Torah and Kahuna, a Kohen, a priest. So, and Tani quoted the source, he wants to argue that there's a relationship between the two. That when you do Torah, in a way, you become like the Kohen. Rambam argues, we should put this in the source sheet, Rambam argues that if you're in a room and there's a guy who's a Kohen, but he's not particularly learned, and there's a scholar who's a rabbi, Rambam thought, at first, he changed his mind later, he thought, give the honor to the rabbi, not to the Kohen. Because the ultimate crown is the Torah. Kohen is supposed to represent that as well, but if he doesn't, then the scholar comes first. But we don't do that. Even the Rambam himself changed his mind. But it's an interesting thing to put into perspective here, that the Israelite who studies Torah, in many ways he becomes like a scholar. There's also a passage in the Talmud that says that a mamzer, person who's a bastard, his mother cheated on her father and they had a child, and he's the product of it. So he's the lowest status. He's got a big A all over him. But if he's a scholar, he's higher than a Kohen Gadol who is ignorant. So a regular Jew, even the lowest Jew, on the totem pole of, who is your father, even that Jew can reach a higher level than a Kohen if he is learning. So there's the relationship of learning Torah and being a Kohen. Gemara Bracha says, he says the Torah in Yechezkel, it says this is the table, but he was looking at the altar. So he said, it was a table or an altar? So he says, look, Rabbi Yochanan and Blazer, they say, look, as long as there's a Beis Hamikdash, the Mizbeach, the altar, atones. But nowadays, when there's no altar, your shulchan, your table, atones. So today, our table atones. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch says that you should always put mitzvah laniach al kol shulchan melach. You should always put salt on the table because your table is like an altar and the eating is like a sacrifice. And in all sacrifices, we put salt. And it protects you from all bad things. So there's actually halacha in Shulchan Aruch to have salt. During the week, we're leaning about it most breads have salt in them anyway. They've got so much malt in there, 450 different ingredients. Certainly they have salt. That's the idea that your table is like an altar. So the regular Jew, his table is like the altar of the priest. It's like the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Yuma says that we mentioned there are three crowns. There's a crown on the golden altar. There's a crown on the Aron HaKodesh. There's a crown on the Shulchan, on the table. The one on the altar, that's for Aaron. That represents the worship that Aaron does. The one on the table, that's wealth. David got that. He's a king. The king, it's good to be king, right? And the Aron HaKodesh, that's sitting there. Who gets it? Anybody who wants it. Aron HaKodesh, anybody can come take that crown. It's for anybody. And that's what it says in Mishlei, Bim lachim imlochu. It's through me, wisdom, that kings become kings. If you have wisdom and Torah, you can become a king. So it's both, Torah both leads to kingship and kahuna. So when we say, Mamlechas Kohenim Begoy Kodosh, a scholar can become both a Kohen and a king as well. Now, the next point relates very much to Shavuos. He says, the Rama says, the Ashkenazi gloss on the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yisrael says, don't forget, it's nice, we always have milk on Shavuos. He says, on the first day, we do it on both days. He says, why? So one idea is, well, you know, on Pesach, which is linked to Shavuos, we had two types, we had two cooked items. So to over here, we should have milk, and then we should have meat, because you have to have milk because it's a custom, and meat because every yontif you have to have meat. So first you have milk, you clear the table, then you have meat. And in order to have milk and then meat, you have to have two different loaves. And so you have, so that way, it's just like you have two cooked items to remember the sacrifices at the Seder on Pesach. So too, you have two loaves of bread to remind you it's parallel to Pesach. What is the main sacrifice of Shavuos, the Yom HaBikurim, the day of the first fruits? You know what the main sacrifice was? Two chametz thick loaves of bread. So by forcing yourself to have two loaves of bread, because first you have the milk, and you cut the bread with the milk, so you get the milk on the bread, so you put that bread away. Then you have meat, and you need some more bread, so you cut the bread, and you get the meat on it. So that's the second loaf of bread. So you have two loaves of bread. It reminds us of the famous sacrifice, the main sacrifice of Shavuos, to wave two loaves of bread. So how can you do that? What does your bread have to do with the two breads that were waved in the base of Mikdash? The answer is your table is like an altar. The table is like an altar. Okay.
That's where some Hasidim put the salt for the bread directly on the table.
Not Hasidim, everybody. On Shabbos, everyone does it.
On the table itself, not on the plate, on the table.
Oh, very good. Very good. Okay, good. Now, the interesting, the tour is, you know, the Rush's son, the tour, he wrote the prototype for the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch copied his style. The Shulchan Aruch, the Yosef Karo, started his first primer, was before he wrote the Code of Jewish Law. He wrote a major treatise on the tour because it was such an important book. So now and then he waxes poetic and he says, prayers instead of sacrifice. Now that's not a big new idea. We know that. Because the Torah calls it an avoda. It's a type of worship. Okay. But it's a worship of the heart. Fine. Gemara and Tainit. Pasuk and Hoshea. Okay. Now, but then he says as follows. Prayer has to be like a sacrifice. A sacrifice, you have to have the right intent. You all know from the Talmud that if you bring a sacrifice and you think, ooh, I'm going to eat this sacrifice a week from now, then the whole sacrifice is no good. You have the wrong intent. You can't put any bad thoughts in there because wrong thoughts could ruin your sacrifice. You have to do it while you're standing because the avoida. The Beis HaMikdash, you always have to do everything standing. Lamod l'sharet, I think it may allude to that in this week's parsha. You have to stand up and do your service. Shvaz raglaim kekohanim. You know why we put our legs together? Because when the Kohen walks up to the altar, he has to walk very daintily. He doesn't take a long stride. He puts his ankle next to his toe, ankle next to his toes, ankle next to his toes. So he walks with his legs together. That's one reason why we keep our feet together. Rather than the reason that we want to be like an angel. That's another reason. But this is the idea that we want to be like Kohanim. And you have to have a special place. Like a sacrifice has to be shechted in a certain place. The blood has to be sprinkled in a certain place. You shouldn't have anything between you and the wall. If you have an opportunity, you dive next to a wall with nothing there, nothing on the wall. Mostly in a shul, only the rabbi gets to do that. Everybody else is behind the rabbi. But you, there's nothing other than you and the worshipers. There's nothing between you and the wall. So just like the sacrifice, it has to be directly on blood on the altar or whatever. So the Torah says there are practical ramifications that link sacrifice and your davening. Rabbi Salmeichik talks about that kavana is an important part of davening because thoughts are very important in sacrifice. If you're thinking that you're going to eat this in the wrong time, in the wrong place, your sacrifice is no good. And also, yeah, if you had something interposing between you and the vessel that you were using, it's no good. And you have to have nice garments, just like the Kohen had nice garments. There we go. Person who's praying, a regular plain Jew who's praying, puts on special jacket. He brushes off his dungarees, and he puts on a nice little coat or something to go daven, right? He's like a Kohen wearing bigdei kuna, the garments of the priest. England of Vazvez, I'll say, look, not everybody can wear fancy things all the time, but tovo shulam chasayim miuchadim l'tfilah. At least have some halagahizim. You should have at least some nice pants that you wear for davening. It should be clean. At least it should be clean. And then if you do it like a sacrifice, it'll be reach nichoach. It'll be like sweet savor before God. And the korban goes up, and the angel will make this prayer into a crown for your maker, for God, so to speak. So it's incredible, incredible passage in the Torah about the notion of kavana for davening and the comparison of a Jew praying and a Kohen doing his worship. The Rav in the Mishnah in Kuvet says, Mashma d'dinei n'tilas yadayim mikivush yadayim shemikdash afilu lo. Where do we get the idea of washing our hands? Who ever heard of washing your hands? In the whole Torah, it's always the idea of what? Wash your body. Wash your body, which rabbis interpret to mean you go to the mikveh. You totally immerse your body. Where do we get the idea of washing our hands? Only the Kohen. A Kohen washes his hands. A regular Jew never washes his hands in Torah law. But apparently,
Torah law.
Privilege that every Jew gets to wash their hands. A little bit like a Kohen, because you're going to eat your meal, and the meal, right? The reason we wash our hands has to do with the truma, that if I was eating truma, I want my hands to be pure, so I have to wash my hands. We're not eating truma. I'm not a Kohen. But in some ways, today, everyone gets to be a little bit of a Kohen. Ironically, after the temple was destroyed, we get to be more like a Kohen when we eat our meals.
Did David HaMelech say in the Psalm, who can approach the mountain of God, who has a pure heart and clean hands?
Good, 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 good.
That's my little shtick.
Probably a metaphor.
Okay. So it's a metaphor for a clean.
That's good. Not a metaphor for someone who didn't kill anybody. Isaiah. One of the most important psukim to walk away from here is the pasuk in Isaiah 61. Yeshayahu. Atem kohen Hashem tikareu. Yishart Elokeinu. In the end of days, you, the Jews, will be called the Kohanim of God, those who serve God. Yemer Elochem. That's what you'll be known as, those who serve God. Chel goyim im tochelu. You will eat the wealth of the Gentiles, and uchvodam t'yamar, and revel in their riches. Enjoy the wealth of the nations. So why do you enjoy the wealth of the nations? Not because they're making you rich, because you're a Kohen. A Kohen doesn't work. The Kohen has other people do the work. Again, today we still have to work, but in the end of days, you can imagine that the Jews would be the Kohanim, and right, we're working. We're working for a living. We're serving the whole world, and therefore other people will pay for us to do that holy work. The Ibn Ezra explains that pasuk. He says, I said already that the meaning of a Kohen is one who ministers. What does a Kohen mean? It's someone who ministers. It's like a minister, right? It is therefore qualified here by the genitive of our God. The other nations will resemble the Israelites, and the Israelites will be like the Aaronites, and the Israelites will therefore receive the abundance of nations as their tribes. So the other nations is like an Israelite, and the Israelite is like a Kohen. So the Israelites will therefore receive benefit, like tithing, like a Kohen. So in the end of days, in what sense is a Jew like a Kohen? In the end of days, will be like a Kohen. So we mentioned in the beginning of days, at the Mount Sinai, everyone was supposed to be a Kohen, and the end of days, everyone would go back to being a Kohen. So let's review. Korach said that all of Israel is holy. He's wrong. There are Kohenim and there are non-Kohenim. However, in some ways, he's right, because we know we're a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. The Rambam says that you could decide to be a Levi if you dedicate yourself to God. It's not unique to a Levi. The Sefer HaBatim, the Kuchavi, Provençal rabbi, he said that the idea of Shemitah is that once every 7 years, you do become a Kohen. Rabbi Tzadok says, you become a Kohen when you wear special garments on Shabbos. The Gemara in Mor Katan implies that on a regel, on a holiday, you become like a Kohen Gadol. Medrash, Mechilta, different Mechiltas, say that we were worthy of being a Kohen until we did the golden calf mistake. And the Gemara in Zvachim says that the scholar, the Rav Ashi, he was treated like a king. He should wear special garments. Everything should be just so. And even the kings ministered to him as he was more like a Kohen or a high priest. And we said that when Jews wear tzitzis, there's an element of being honored through that. It shows that you're servants of God, which is not a lowly status of a slave, but rather a high status of like an angel who serves God. And they are for honor, your garments, just like the garments tell the Jews that they're chosen. Our special garments as Jews, like tzitzis, tell the Gentiles that we are chosen as well. And Barbanel says explicitly that the tzitzis are a sign to the Gentiles that you fear God and love his mitzvot. The Brigid of Lezer says that one day the Gentiles will grab your tzitzis and ask you to teach them Torah, tzitzis representing your special status as a Kohen vis-a-vis the Gentiles. The Maharsha says that the tefillin is the crown of Torah that every Jew tries to wear. Of course, we don't always deserve it, but we try to wear that. And the Gemara says that if you daven and you wear tefillin, then it's as if you brought a sacrifice. And the Preet Tzadik says that your Shabbos garments make you like a Kohen. And the Rambam says that if a scholar marries the daughter of a Kohen, it's appropriate because Torah and Kahuna belong together. Because when you have Torah, you are like a Kohen, according to what we're saying. And the Gemara says that nowadays our table, if we do the right things at our table, we eat the right food and we say the right things at a table, then the table atones for us as well, just like an altar. So every Jew gets to sit at the table and it's as if they're eating on the sacrificial table. As we said, it's very egalitarian. Anyone can use this, can take the Torah. It's available to all. And we can become like kings through Torah as well. And we mentioned that on Shavuos, it's as if we have the two breads that were sacrifices on our table because we have milk bread, and then we have the fleishig bread, the bread we eat with the fleishig. We mentioned that on our tables we put salt. And we mentioned that we try to do all the things you do for a sacrifice when we bring our prayers, such as proper intent, putting our feet together, and being clean, having special garments, etc. And special hoizen. And we even wash our hands like a Kohen does, because we're trying, we that exemplifies that connection, that status. And at the end of days, we will yet be called Kohenim to God. So that's our presentation about the idea that the Kohenim, that the Jews are in theory and in practice have some status of a Kohen, whether it was originally meant to be, whether it will one day be, whether it's expressed when someone's particularly scholarly, or whether it's expressed as a simple person, a Jew having a table or wearing special garments on Shabbos, a Jew can reconnect with that original plan that every Jew would be a Kohen.